Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to Rolling with Accessibility, How to Make Role-Playing Games Accessible for the Blind. My name is Lisa Hellman, Youth Services Librarian for Wolfner Talking Book and Braille Library. Joining me today as our expert on role-playing games is a seasoned RPG player, Matthew Nixon. Matthew graduated from Davidson College with a Bachelor's of Arts in 1999. He has spent the last 20 years working in the banking and finance sectors, and he currently serves as the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled's Business Office Manager. In his private life, he lives with his wife, Christina, putters around his kitchen, plays RPGs, and struggles to live up to his cat's high standards. Matthew, thank you so much for presenting today on this interesting topic. For those who may not know what role-playing games, or RPGs for short, are, could you give us more detail?
Sure. Thanks for having me. So role-playing games are a collaborative tool for telling stories together. It's a cross between improvisational theater and kind of a video game outlook at certain points. The most well-known games of this type are probably Dungeons and Dragons and games like Tunnels and Trolls, which started in the 1970s and before. And during the story process for a role-playing game, you usually have someone who's in charge of the story itself, the game master or dungeon master, and then you have players. And each of those players takes on the persona of a character. Often they have statistics or other elements which they build for themselves or the game presents. And the game master then answers questions and tells them what happens when they take actions. So the game master becomes a portal to what's happening in the rest of the world so they can narrate the consequences of their actions. And together they create a story and a shared narrative together, sometimes over one game, sometimes over a couple of sessions. It just depends on how it's set up. And the mechanics of those interactions are governed by whatever game system they're choosing to use at that time.
So we know blind individuals can play RPGs, but what challenges do you know or have faced yourself with playing RPGs?
So part of it really depends on what kind of game you want to play. There are a lot of games out there for people to choose from. Depending on the setting, you can play a game as if you're in the far future, in a Star Wars setting or a setting of your favorite movie or book. You can play a game, choose to play a game representing you as a dragon or as a god or as any number of potential settings. And each one of them has their own special challenges. Some of them are games like some versions use what's called a battle map, and it's basically to represent your characters when they take actions. They move around on a grid or a map with special requirements, and that can be challenging if you can't feel the grid or easily measure the distance between the figures that they're using or the maps, because then, you know, if you can't see the maps and you can't interact with the material, then it's hard to sometimes to make intelligent decisions and decide what you want to do. So I think sometimes they have electronic materials that can be difficult to, or settings that can be difficult to get hold of. There are a couple of popular electronic platforms where people can sit down and play games virtually, and some of them are highly graphical and not great for someone visually to interact with. There can be charts and other materials and reference materials which are hard to make accessible. Just some games really, really highly dependent on large bodies of reference material, and it can be a little daunting at the beginning. And finally, I think there are a lot of different player aids and different pieces of what I would call reference materials, things like if your book is totally in print and not available as an electronic copy, then there, you can see some challenges in getting hold of that and making it accessible and usable, especially if your group that you're playing with likes to use a lot of printed materials and isn't as comfortable using something like an electronic reference document or something like that. It can be sometimes challenging.
All right, so knowing what challenges the blind community faced regarding playing RPGs, what are some ways or resources available to make RPGs more accessible?
So there are lots of options out there to make games accessible. The first thing I wanted to stress is that role-playing is a collaborative storytelling option. It's a way for people to socialize. It's designed to be a group activity. Even if you're playing a game where you're supposed to, where you're pretending to have an argument or fight with other people, you're still at the table with other people and you can ask them for help. I know in different games that I've played, sometimes I've just had to ask for help for people to interpret what's on the board. And since it's a collaborative event, it's often not difficult, or it's even completely socially acceptable to ask for help. There are a lot of different options outside of that, just asking for help, and you can take on it depending on your level of technological proficiency. There are system resource documents out there for a lot of open games, such as, let's call it D&D, the current 5th edition that's out. And system resource documents are essentially Wikipedia entries, which cover all the open, the non-copyrighted or the material that the publisher has put out that's available for public consumption. So what you'll see in a lot of cases is you can go to an SRD is what it's usually called, and you'll have a web page, and it'll have basically all the headings that you would have in the book, say like how to build a character or an equipment list or something like that. And you'll click on that link, and then it'll bring up a web page with all the accessible material. So as long as you have the ability to browse the web accessibly, you can access the core material without too much trouble. I find that it helps for me to make characters and update the data in a Google Sheet, or an Excel spreadsheet, depends on how you want to run things. So you can represent things electronically that other people would represent on paper. And it means that I can edit it with a mobile device, or I can read the material and have access to it in an accessible format. Most now games are available as PDFs. And usually those PDFs are through sites that use them to publish the documents in the first place. So they're mostly accessible. I mean, there are a couple, especially if you're talking about some of the archival games that were written long before electronic media was commonplace, that you'll see scans of, and you'll have to extract that or get some help. But in general, companies like DriveThruRPG.com and others that I've worked with, you can get accessible versions of the text, which can be super helpful. There are also options in 3D printing and a couple of other different programs which will allow you to, depending on your level of technological proficiency, you can get a lot of aids built, custom built for you to play games. Like I think it's called Dot Store. You can buy Braille dice, and the person who built it on, I believe it's Shapeways, wanted to make it so that gamers could roll the traditional sets of role-playing dice, which are a four-sided die, which looks kind of like a pyramid, traditionally anyway, a six-sided die, an eight-sided die, a 10-sided die, a 12-sided die, and a 20-sided die. And what they ended up doing was they created dice that could be 3D printed, and you can either download the files and do it yourself, or you can pay for Shapeways or other companies to do it. And the problem I always ran into was with, like, for example, with a 20-sided die, it's very common in a lot of games. You can't feel, like on a 6-sided die, 16mm 6-sided die with pips, you can feel whether you have a 6 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4. You really can't do that with a standard D4 or a D20. They're just, you can't feel whether it has 20 pips or 19 pips. And typically they just use the numbers highlighted in such a way that you have to either have to get a very large die, which is unwieldy, or resort to other options. So they found a way to make Braille. 1 through 10 is A through J, you know, the standard comparison equivalency that you find in first grade or grade 1 Braille. And then K is 11, L is 12, all the way up to 20. So they are able to make a reasonably sized 20-sided, 10, 8, 12-sided dice, which you can roll, and a visually impaired person can actually use without having to resort to extreme measures. And also, I would point out, too, that most electronic assistants now will roll dice for you. You can ask Google to roll dice, and they'll even provide sound effects, such as rolling 20, roll 2 6-sided dice, or roll a 20-sided die, or roll 5 D4, or something like that. That's true for Siri as well, or you can just have them pick from a random number range, something like pick a number between 1 and 12 is the same thing as rolling a 12-sided die. And in a lot of cases, you can get the same effectiveness just from your basic speaker and mobile devices out there. Not to mention there are apps also that'll cover for a lot of this and act as reference material. I think there are even, if you're using the Alexa, you'll find that there are a lot of apps and custom skills out there, and with other pieces of software as well, that will let you replicate some of the paper materials and streamline your interactions. So it just depends on where your comfort level is and how much you want to reach out into the world and use some of those resources.
All right, Matthew, before we sign off, I think our listeners would love to learn a bit more about your experience with RPGs. So how did you get started? What have you played? What do you play now? And do you have any other resources you recommend?
That's a big question. I started gaming back in high school. I believe my sophomore year, so about 28 years ago, give or take. I've played at least 100, probably more, different game systems and types over the years, especially if you count different editions. And depends on whether you're talking about convention games, like a one-off, or campaigns. I got started really because my friends were playing. I didn't really know what it was, but it was something that they enjoyed, and it seemed like a good fit at the time. And it blossomed into both a way of meeting people and socializing and engaging my creative side that I don't always get to do. It's role-playing, for me at least, is a lot about telling shared stories. And I grew up with a theater background and performance, so I run way more games than I actually play. I enjoy doing different voices for characters and making the world come alive for players. So it's as much an expression of the theater side of my life as it is actually just playing the game and socializing, which it also is. I've played most of the major titles out there, starting with some Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition. I've played White Wolf, The Vampire, and The Masquerade, and most of their basic properties in college. I've also got started really with Rifts, which is a Palladian title a long time ago. One of the big titles I grabbed when I was at Gen Con back in 2010 was Dragonstorm, which was and is a card-based, collectible card-based role-playing game in which your character is represented by certain cards and skills. And so it's a lot like collecting the art and the materials as much as playing the game itself. I've played a lot of different one-off games too. My wife and I have gone to conventions over the years. We've walked in and played one or two games as one-off opportunities, games like Spirit of the Century, which is a fate-based game where you play a superhero from the 1920s or so, people who have, back in the early times of superheroes. I've played Savage Worlds, different games in different settings. Most of my interest right now is focused on what I would call rules light systems for storytelling, things like Dungeon World and Apocalypse World, which are systems which try and pull back from the heavy mechanics, the big multi-hundred page books that govern every interaction, and try and just make it easier for people to tell stories together and focus on the great things that your characters are doing in the narrative, rather than having to worry about the rules as much. And I've also been toying with an old school role-playing game called Godbound, which I want to delve into a little bit more. And hopefully after I do a little bit more reading, we'll do that or some of the other titles in that line.
Any other resources besides the ones that you mentioned previously?
I mean, if you want to play games, role-playing games, you want to get into it, what I would suggest is going, contact your local gaming store. There are usually comic book stores or other places. You can go to certain forums online. I'm not going to recommend any one over another, but depending on where your interests are, there are lots of places. If you're visually impaired, Knights of the Braille is a place where people game electronically, and it's designed to be specifically accessible for people with visual impairment, hence the title. More generally, I would say as a resource, read a lot. understand what you're interested in and what settings you enjoy reading about or playing video games in or listening to movies over. Those are the kinds of settings you're probably going to enjoy role-playing in as well. And sometimes it's as simple as saying, I want to role-play in the Star Wars universe or Star Trek or Conan or any number of settings and picking one that fits that. Sometimes it's more complicated and you go out and you talk to your local game store and turns out that there are people running games there on a regular basis and you try and enter one of those games so your setting is already picked for you. Most of it's about just finding local resources and finding what you like and then building out from there. It's a great experience. There are hundreds of podcasts, websites, and different product lines out there where you can just go out and browse through and get a sense for what's going on. Dungeons and Dragons is obviously the big, you know, the 500-pound gorilla in the universe, but there are so many games out there. People shouldn't feel limited to playing that. I mean, if you want to, it's great. But there are alternative versions of fantasy games and other options out there. You can really, at this point, because of electronic publishing, play anything you want, provided you can get people to back it and play it with you. So, you know, it's really a question of, if I had to point someone towards resources, I would say just look online, check out Wikipedia, see what people are saying, and do some reading on your own and form your own opinions and go on from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matthew, for discussing role-playing games and how those in the blind community can participate. And also, thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you are interested in Wolfner Library providing other podcasts like this, you can contact us at Wolfner, WOLFNER, at sos.mo.gov, or call us at 573-751-8720. Matthew, if people would like to contact you with questions or have Maryland Library for the Blind and Print Disabled provide podcasts like this, where can they reach you?
So the best way to reach me right now, especially, is over email. You can reach me at work at Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W dot Nixon, N-I-X-O-N, at Maryland, M-A-R-Y-L-A-N-D dot gov, which is G-O-V. If you email me there, I will try and get back to you. And I'm happy to answer questions and to point people in the right directions if they want services or other products through the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled. You can also call our general phone number, although due to COVID, we're currently difficult to reach specifically. We do try to return phone calls and do our best to give people personalized service. And you can reach us at 410-230-2424.
Thanks again to Matthew and everyone listening. Have a great day or night.